This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Today's show is sponsored by Miracle Made. Now, you guys have heard me talk about these sheets before. Guys, they're sheets. They have self-cooling properties for better quality sleep. And they were inspired by NASA. So they have all these like fancy thermoregulating qualities because they're all technology and stuff. And honestly, like, I feel like I spent so much of my life just buying the crappiest sheets. And when you find sheets that feel delightful, that's something you hang on to. You know what I mean? You just hang on to that. I mentioned they're self-cooling. They're also self-cleaning. They prevent up to 99.7% of bacterial growth, leaving them staying cleaner and fresher 3 times longer than the average sheets. I can totally attest to that. Like I said, they're super comfortable. They feel luxurious, like nicer than sheets they use in 5-star hotels. For real. They're designed for your skin. And because of the bacteria thing, it doesn't cause breakouts and stuff, which is like actually a big issue for my husband. His face is very sensitive to that. And I'll tell you, these pillowcases have been doing wonders on his face. So go to trymiracle.com/fakethenation. Again, that's trymiracle.com/fakethenation to get Miracle Made sheets today. And whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one, if you order today, you can save over 40%. And if you use the promo code FAKETHENATION at checkout, then you'll receive 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. It's an incredible deal. And Miracle is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. And if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund. So upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/FAKETHENATION and use the code FAKETHENATION to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/fakethenation. Treat yourself. And thanks so much to Miracle Made for sponsoring this episode.
Fake the Nation, episode 260.
Hello, hello. This is Fake the Nation, where we talk about news, we talk about politics, and where we hope that you're having a fantastic weekend celebrating the US of A. The way it demands to be celebrated, with barbecues and fireworks and flip-flops and just sitting aroundedness. Yeah, I hope you're doing a lot of that, sitting around. So this week, we have a very specific episode. First up, I talk to Mo Rocca and Cody Lindquist about how tricky it is to end a conversation. Next, I'll talk to Paula Poundstone and Judy Gold about what it would take for them to move to a random town. We also discuss how girls' yearbook photos in Florida were photoshopped to block out their cleavage, which is wild. Also, terrible photoshopping. Like, it's like the worst photoshopping. Next topic, we're now going to talk about starting and stopping conversations. And to join me on this hopefully beautifully started and insightfully ended conversation, I am joined by Cody Lindquist. You can see her on Showtime's My Cartoon President. Hey, Cody.
Hello.
And Mo Rocca, host of the podcast Mobituaries. And you can hear him on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Hey, Mo.
Hi, Nagin.
So Adam Mastroianni, I'm probably butchering that name, is a 5th-year PhD student in psychology at Harvard. He was getting ready to go to a party, and he was slightly annoyed because he thought inevitably at this party he's going to get stuck in a conversation with someone that he didn't want to be stuck in a conversation for and wishing for the conversation to end. And that's when he realized, holy shit, everybody fears this moment. He can't be the only one. So he put together a study and found that most people want to end a conversation and that you are not alone. And in fact, he found that basically, this is crazy, this number is ridiculous, 98% of all conversations end with at least one person dissatisfied with the length. So I guess my question to you is, has this been an annoyance in your life? Were you surprised by the findings of this piece?
This makes my heart just like start to race because I am the person that talks too much. There's constantly a narration in my head where it's like, okay, Cody, let him go. Let him go. just let him go. And I'm like, oh, you know, and if I have a couple drinks, it's a real, oh, just like, yeah. It's like a blaring go, let him go, let him go, let him go. And I have to just be like, there's food over here, there. And it's just, you know, it's something I work at. But now that we're like dipping our toe into being social again, it's like starting from the
all
beginning.
Of your, right. All of your training has gone into the basket.
It is like training at a gym, me trying not to talk too much in a conversation, as I'm doing now.
So you,
Mo, what
are
do you think?
Afraid? Are you afraid that you're the guy that like is in a conversation and someone is like, please shut the fuck up. I wish you would shut the fuck up. Are you worried that the person is you?
Oh, for sure. Oh, 100%.
That's just all
yeah.
Okay.
And they do. They do. I definitely talk too much. So it's just, it's like a battle I've been, you know, battling my whole life. And I've trained myself mostly pretty well to keep it in check. But again, now that I'm being social again and I've been out for a year. Also, all I want to do is talk to people. I want to talk to people.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you
too.
Doing?
Yes, me too.
There's someone else besides my children and my husband. Let's talk. And they're like, oh my gosh, I need to leave. Thank you
Mo,
for inviting
what
me
is
over.
Your what is your relationship with this situation?
Oh, I'm trying to, you know, on the phone, even though it's so obnoxious, it's easy to end the conversation with you know, just deploying the, okay, I'm going to let you go now, right? which is so obnoxious, but it pretty much works every time. I'm trying to think in person, in person, oh boy, I wish I had a better answer for this.
Are you looking for ways in person to end? Like, are you the one that feels like you wish conversations would end sooner and then you're looking for a way out at a party?
I think that I probably am. I think that I probably...
I'm going to have to invite Mo over to my house and I'll have to let you know how it goes.
Can you guys do a training session with each other where Mo learns how to end it like in a graceful way and Cody learns how to pick up the signals? You know what I mean? That's what I'm talking. That's what we need in America is that because it's interesting because what the study also found out, and this is also this is exactly the kind of thing that'll be on a Wait, Don't Tell Me episode. I wouldn't be surprised if this shows up this week in Wait, Don't Tell Me, because it's like the kind of study that's like, obviously, you know what I mean? Obviously, people want the conversation to end. Of course, everybody doesn't, you know, because every conversation is either someone was having a good time and it ended early for them, or someone is not having a good time. I mean, how, again, in 2% of cases, do people think conversations end at the right time? But, you know, and it's magic if a conversation ends at a right time. It's magic because someone walks in with a tray of hors d'oeuvres and Jake walks into the apartment and is like, hey, and you're like, oh, I got to go say hi to Jake. You know what I mean? That's just like, it's like magic if that happens in those 2%.
But I think that Cody is a party saver because I would have thought that the anxiety that most people have is that they don't have enough to say.
Ah.
And so that a big talker actually sets people at ease.
Right.
You know, one of my big frustrations in life is loud restaurants.
Yeah.
And, you know, I believe that a lot of restaurants, I believe based on just my own hunch, that a lot of restaurants crank up the music really high because it fills the void for a lot of people,
right?
Say on first dates who are sitting at tables and don't, and there's a real void in the conversation, and at least like loud music sort of fills that space and makes you think like, oh, we're having a great time. So I don't know. I don't think the crisis with America's social gatherings is tuning to Cody's.
Thank you, Mo. You're invited over.
You know, I like, okay, this is going to be a surprise to exactly no one listening to this show, but I also want to launch a defense of the talker because I remember this one time years ago when one of my really good friends, Anyalay, the two of us were at a, she'd come to visit me in New York, whatever. We had all these things planned. And I guess we went out one night and like went a little too hard. You know what I mean? So then the next day I felt fine, but my voice was gone. And then that night we had to go to another party and all this shit, right? So we go out and I was like, and Anyalay's like, oh my God, I have to do the conversation. I have to like be the conversation leader. And that's usually what you do. And I I felt seen in that moment because I was like, you know what? I do a lot of conversation leading. I do fill the void. I do find things to say when a bunch of completely unrelated people have nothing to say to each other. That's me. You know what I mean? And when I had laryngitis, it was so obviously clear that, you know, I wasn't there to do that job. And so she was sort of like trying to do it.
It's an art. It's an art.
It is.
You're an artist, Nagin, and I will say this.
Thank you.
But like you, as a talker, there are good talkers and bad talkers. There's the talkers that have the circular conversation that you're constantly trying to get out of, and you don't know how because they're not asking you any questions.
Right.
They're not introducing new information. They're telling you the same story over and over in a different way, and that's frustrating. But the person that's able to, you know, move people from different parts of the conversation and say, oh, you know this person through this way, or, you know, they like dogs. You have a dog, you know. That is a very, very difficult skill. And I'm sure you're great at it.
I mean, I'm not trying to sit here and brag about my life, okay? But I think I'm decent at it. I think I'm decent at it.
It's been a lot of work, but I'm good at it. Yeah.
But I also think, you know, if you're ever in a situation where you feel like someone's looking over your shoulder for the better person to talk about, that's for two reasons. One, you might be at a networking event and they literally have a goal, in which case I respect that. You have a goal, you have to meet fucking Elon Musk or whatever, and he's like about to come into the brain. You're just like waiting for that moment, because then that's it. You just have to have that one conversation and then you can leave. And that's your whole point at this party. Two, it could be happening because you're going on and on in a circular conversation. So I think the best thing for people is to like ask a question. If you can read the cues that someone is bored, you ask them a question. Now, the other thing is, if you're bored, like this is Mo's dilemma, like when you're on the phone, I'll let you go. With the implication being like, I've been talking so much, I'll let you go, which is like...
It also sounds like you're taking someone off life support, but anyway.
I'm now going to kill you. I'm going to murder you now. And the other day, I was having a conversation with my brother. We were having a political conversation, and we agree, but he had some drinks. And when my brother has some drinks, it's the same. He can be a little circular.
Right.
So I just... And everyone at the table was like, oh, please... let this end. So I just said, who wants to see some pictures of my kids? And that's how I ended the conversation.
Right,
and he wanted to go back to the conversation. And I said, nope, this conversation's over. Everybody's bored. We're all moving on. And I'm literally just going to show you pictures of my children. It worked.
Yeah.
Eventually.
I mean, that's, you know, but I think the other elegant ways at a party to just, you know, one, a nice elegant way, I feel like, is being like, you know what? I gotta go take a piss. You know, it's just like a nice, elegant way of getting out of
the food. I'm always like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna go grab a snack. And
drinks,
I do love the snacks. So
pee, yeah. Like you gotta. There's a lot of great ways of getting out of conversation. Also, when Jake comes in, you've been, oh, there's Jake. You know what I mean? I've been meaning. I gotta go. Fucking talk to that guy. And
that's
a great way to get
you to Jake, so you guys can talk.
Have you met Jake? Yeah.
Everybody loves Jake.
And, no, and you do a turnout, the body, you turn out, right? You turn upstage sort of to let Jake in.
Right.
And then you recede after a few moments.
Oh my God, absolutely. You first create a circle and then you turn it into a line. Yes.
These are really good skills for all of us. This is a very hard time. We've all been away. We haven't been working on our social skills and we need to brush up.
Now, here's my last question to you guys on this topic is the study found that, quote, you have much more fun talking to a stranger. Do you guys feel like you have more fun talking to a stranger than people you already know?
Why, it depends. I mean, strangers can be really fun. I mean, it depends. I mean, I like exciting strangers.
Yeah, this is, a stranger, like... you know, grandma, someone's aunt from at the wedding. I always get set next to like random second cousin. I'm always at the table that's just like a bunch of randos. And they're like, Cody will know how to get all these randos together.
Yes,
and my friends are all at a table together. But no, I'm working at the wedding to talk to all these randos. No, I do not enjoy that. But, you know, it like an interesting, attractive, funny stranger. Yeah, sign me up. Don't tell my husband, but sign me up. It's never that.
Mo,
when they put you at the wedding table with the randos, it's random people.
Mo, you have to talk to a lot of strangers to do your work. I mean, do you feel like is it just a thrill a minute or what?
Well, you know, most of the people I'm talking to for my job, I've done a ton of research on before. So it almost is sort of...
Right.
I've never thought of it in these terms of maybe almost like being the host of a two-person party or something, a good host, knowing something about the guest before the guest shows up.
Right.
But I have to pull off something, and I'm wondering if it's useful for parties at all, where I know a lot, but I need the conversation to seem fresh and spontaneous. And for that person, I don't want that person to say, you know, I don't want Susan Lucci to say to me, well, I know you know everything about, I know you already know how many times Erica Kane died and got married and divorced
the same person. Right.
I'm a huge soap opera fan, so I do know everything about Susan Lucci.
And she's fantastic. But if I end up doing Man on the Street, it can be exhilarating, right? Where I'm just interviewing random people. That can be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's also interesting. I mean, yes, I've been in conversations with strangers where the conversation is a total dud because they just offer you nothing. You know what I mean?
It's like
you're talking
to a wall.
Exactly. So like we've all been in those conversations. Those suck. However, that's not a really common thing. I mean, most people can do something, right? And I found that I do find a thrill in talking to them because you're like, what am I going to find out? Like, it could be anything. Like, I remember, you know, going on an online date with a total stranger, right? And I show up, I had like zero interest in boning this dude. You know what I mean? Like you could tell in the first 2 minutes, like I had zero interest in boning this dude. But I was just like, okay, here we go. Barrage of questions. Let me see if I can find something interesting. And I did. He was raised in a cult. I mean, come on. And, you know, and it's funny because like in the first 10 minutes, he wouldn't have known because he presented as so.
Who says in the first 10 minutes, and I was raised in a cult.
And I was raised in a cult. Like you have to like. I really got in hard with the questions. So it made him like kind of after, you know, minute 11, he was like, well, I mean, the thing is I was raised in, you know, some people, I get, it's hard to say this out loud. It was a cult. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, jackpot. Let's do this hour of date.
But you know,
I will never see you again.
He left the date being like, that went great. We're going to get married.
I did get a second date offer. So correct, Cody.
See? Because if you're a talker, they're like, wow, the chemistry. And you're like, no, I'm just really good at asking questions. And also you're interesting. I do this a lot now with parent friends. When you have children, as you know, you have to like meet a lot of people at playgrounds or at school now. So I have to, there's a lot of like new conversations happening all the time, new relationships being built, new friendships, new foundations. So, you know, it never goes away. You're always meeting new people is the point.
Folks, tell me, are you magically the kind of people that feel like your conversations ended exactly the right moment? Or like, are you up among the 98% of this study who feel like conversations are dissatisfying in their length one way or the other?
By the way, yes. Among that 98%, they don't, it's not that they all think conversations go on too long, right?
Yes.
It's a mix.
Yeah.
Some of them actually think they ended too quickly.
You know, but I think that you should, you know, it's a leave them wanting more, like the ruling comedy, you know, edit it down and then they'll come back for your next movie. Folks, thank you for that. I think you guys are really fantastic. And what I would really love is for the people of Fake the Nation to know exactly where they can find you and follow all of the amazing things that you do. Cody, where do they do that?
I mean, you can find me on Twitter, Cody Lindquist on Twitter, Cody Lindquist on Instagram, Showtime's our cartoon president.
Mo, where do they find you?
You can find me on my super boring Twitter feed because I gave up a long time ago.
And you can subscribe to his podcast, Mobituaries, and all of that stuff. Now, let's take a break to hear from our wonderful sponsors. Then we'll be right back. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Folks, I feel like I've mentioned this before, but I tried other services that I was displeased with. And then a neighbor of mine was trying Factor. I had pulled them aside in the hallway and I was like, what are you feeling about this Factor? And they were like, it is delicious. You should definitely do it. So then me and my husband did it and we loved it. They are chef-prepared meals that arrive to your door, and then in 2 minutes, you could be eating them. Like, it's so simple, and they're actually delicious. And for people like me who just sometimes, my schedule can be so maniacal between traveling in different cities and, you know, doing stand-up gigs. It's like I just don't have a typical schedule where I can plan, set aside time for cooking and all that stuff. So something like Factor really helps for me. The other thing that I love to do is try not to eat carbs. So they have a keto option, which is fantastic. It's super delicious. They use premium ingredients. You can get stuff with like filet mignon and shrimp and truffle butter and broccolini and asparagus, right? Like real ingredients. They're no fuss, no mess meals. They eliminate the hassle of having to prep. They're tailored to your schedule. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility. You can pause or reschedule. I've actually done that. I've both paused and rescheduled. Factor is basically your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long, and look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. So here's what I think you should do. I think you should head to factormeals.com/fakethenation50 and use the code fakethenation50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code fakethenation50 at factormeals.com/fakethenation50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. I am the type of person that has subscribed to things and I have forgotten about those things. I have paid twice for a children's educational app, and I didn't know that I was paying twice for several months. Until that is, I discovered Rocket Money, and because I use Rocket Money, it just showed up all these things. The thing that I was paying twice for that made me incredibly angry, thank God Rocket Money ended that for me. It also cancels the subscription for you, so you don't have to like go through the hassle of going to that site and figuring out how to cancel. They actually make canceling very difficult. I don't know if any of you have had the experience, but I have been on a roundabout 8-exit nightmare trying to unsubscribe to something before. Rocket Money eliminates that hassle. It also alerts you to an increase in subscription price. And this is something Rocket Money did for me. It negotiates a lower price for something you already subscribed to. So like for my cable bill, it got me a lower price. And I was very happy about that. Nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgotten about, which makes me feel better because I'm one of them. But it makes me feel terrible because what are we doing? Losing that money. I don't want to waste that money. And I know you don't want to waste that money. If you struggle with these kinds of purchases, if you struggle with finances in general, Rocket Money will help you with the budgeting, help you track your expenses, help you, like I said, cancel those unwanted subscriptions. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions, it monitors your spending, it helps you lower your bills so you can get back to saving. I mean, me and my husband have been on the warpath, and Rocket Money has been a really big part of that. It has over 5 million users with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. The average member has saved up to $740 a year using the app's features, which is, I mean, that tracks for me. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions. Go to rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Again, that's rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Save the money at rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. And we're back. So now we're going to get into the cultural grab bag of topics. And to join me in talking about them, we have comedian and host of the podcast, No One Listens to Paula Poundstone. It's Paula Poundstone. Hey, Paula.
Hey, Nagin. Thanks for having me.
And we are also joined by host of the podcast, Kill Me Now with Judy Gold. It's Judy Gold. Hey, Judy.
Hi, Nagin. Hi, Paula. Hey, I love you.
Thank you so much. It's so nice to see you. You look fantastic.
You too. You too. You have beautiful lipstick on.
Thank you. I'm using this shade now. I'm using this lipstick shade now. you know, I have, I got two new kittens. And I do this thing where I put them in my bathroom because I have 8 cats and then 2 new kittens. And so when I bring new cats into the fold, I put them in the bathroom for a while with the litter box some food to let them adjust before I throw them out into the gen pup.
A waiting room.
And so, but as they get bigger and more adventurous and less scared, then they get, you know, they knock stuff over and it's time to get them out of there. But I stupidly left a drawer open the other day, and it had all my makeup in it, and so they knocked. You know, they went.
And they
knocked all my makeup out, and
and they looked gorgeous.
You're left with lipstick.
So I went in there and I picked up the lipstick tube off the floor and put it back in the drawer. That's my point.
The point is, you are the Nadia. You're the Nadia Suleiman of cats. Okay.
Who's Nadia Suleiman?
The Octomom.
Oh, I didn't realize
that. Wow. That is a reference. I do not know. I actually now realize I never knew her name. I only know her as Octomom. So there we go. We all learned something.
I thought that was her real name, and I always thought that was a strange name to give a kid.
Octomom Suleiman. All right, let's get into our first little piece from the grab bag. Cities are trying to get more remote workers to move there. There are programs and grants, like the Northwest Arkansas Council launched a program offering select remote workers $10,000 and a free bicycle if they moved there within 6 months. And the idea is basically that they'll spend their money locally, but they won't take jobs from locals. And a bunch of other places are doing similar things. What do you think of these kinds of initiatives to get people to move to various places?
I think that's really clever, actually. It didn't occur to me that part of the perk for the state was that they weren't taking jobs from other people because they were working remotely in like New York City or something. Jeez, I might do that. You know, if I could combine that, like I get my 10 grand from Arkansas, I get my bike, and then like say I refuse my vaccine and I wait until the stakes go up on that. I could, you know, I'll do that.
I have very mixed feelings. Like I was trying to think about it from every which way. First of all, if you have no legs, what are you going to do with the bicycle? You got to get some other, you know what I mean? Skateboard.
For sure.
But it's so weird because they apply. So they're essentially picking who they want in their community.
Right. The ideal citizen of Northwest Arkansas.
Right.
What do you mean they apply?
Yeah, these are...
It's
an application
they
process.
They have to apply.
It's like you're getting a grant, right? You're getting a grant. You have to live there, I think, for 1 or 2 years, 1 year.
Yeah.
And then you get the $10,000. That's with the Northwest Arkansas one.
To me, that part of it, it's like, oh, what are you trying? It's like Shaker Heights. You know, are you trying to make this perfect community and you're picking who lives there.
Okay, wait.
I don't know. That part of it is weird.
Back up and tell me what Shaker Heights is.
Shaker Heights is a community in Chicago. Little Fires Everywhere. It takes part there. And it was supposed to be like a utopia the way it was.
Yeah, wasn't it like created as this utopia?
Yeah, it's right by Cleveland. I'm sorry, Chicago. I meant Cleveland, but they have C's.
Oh, okay.
And so it was supposed to be this sort of utopia. And I mean, it's different now. It's more diverse and stuff. But it's just, I don't know, that part of it, like that. It's like you can come into our country club. You know, it's just that part is weird. And then what about the people that already live there? It's like, it makes me feel like, you know, I subscribe to like the New York Times and then I see these. Okay. And I pay a lot of money. I've been a subscriber for what, over 30 years. And then I see like, okay, free 6 months. And I'm like, what? Oh, I've been doing this forever, yeah, you know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. There's like, I feel that way when I see cable deals. Because folks, I'm one of those people that still pays for cable. Come at me.
Same.
So, okay. And I think that is something that a lot of people said is like, you know, we've been living here in Northwest Arkansas for a long time. Like a $10,000 could do a lot for me and my family. Like, why is it going into this random stranger who you've somehow deemed to be a worthy resident? Why am I not a worthy resident? Why is my, you know, thing not a worthy resident? Although I have to say that those kinds of arguments are very like zero sum. I think those residents deserve a safety net and they can come up with ways to attract more people to their town, right? Like both of those things can be true. It's kind of, yeah. I've always found the argument of like, you know, it has to be one or like this one program is specifically taking away from programs of people in need in the region. Like that's not how it is working. And in fact, I think it's a foundation that's putting up the money.
Right.
So that's not, you know, so I've always like bristled at those kinds of arguments, but I also see the point of just like, why don't we bolster the actual community? I mean, I see that point.
Okay.
Also,
I have an idea.
Okay. Paula.
What if, okay. So somebody takes the 10 grand, they get the bike, right? And you know, the bike should ID them, but say they're not riding the bike. They have to... Say they have to wear like I'm the new person
in town t-shirt.
Yeah. T-shirt. Sure. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So now everybody knows.
Or like a nice vest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the bike is a certain color.
Yes, exactly.
It's like, there's one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So now when they go into everybody. A business, the business can jack the price up on just that one person. And in this way, they recoup that 10 grand more quickly.
Right.
Does that seem unfair in any way?
That's really good.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm getting a tattoo that says I was vaccinated.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Let's just create like a ways in which those people who are trying to move to Northwest Arkansas feel worse about their choices.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing is like, you know, they interviewed someone in one of these pieces we read. Who was just like, yeah, I won the grant and I'm really excited. And there's an element of like where they bring all the grantees together. So you're sort of like not alone. And then there's an element where they try and introduce you to locals and the locals will tell me where to go,
right.
Eat, which restaurants to go to, which churches to go to. And the whole thing sounded kind of
shit.
Right. It had a vibe of like student abroad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's delightful. Right. Like there is just a goal unto itself of enriching yourself in another place without it. It doesn't have, you know what I mean? That could just be its own lovely thing. I mean, in fact, by the way, Hawaii is doing something like that. It's not.
Yes,
asking,
I know.
That
yeah,
was
who,
like
who has
really
to get people
cool.
to come live in Hawaii?
I know.
I mean, I know.
It's
apparently they need incentives. But there is some incentives. And then they're not even asking for people to go there long term, but for 30 days at least. Because Hawaii lost so many tourism dollars during the pandemic. So they're just trying to rebuild.
But I think that they should give people money Like I would take $10,000 to get rid of some of my neighbors. I would do that.
Right.
Oh, that's
pay
a good
me
idea.
And I'll kick the assholes out of here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. Is that how it works? You get paid so that other yeah people, so that you
and then I'll say here, here's $3,000. Get the fuck out of here. You're so annoying. You know?
Yeah.
Well, and then Savannah, here's what Savannah's doing. The Savannah Economic Development Authority announced that they would be giving $2,000 to selected tech workers who committed to living in the city, because Savannah's trying to build a tech sector. They're trying to like rival Silicon Valley and New York and all these other places that have like thriving tech sectors by being like, oh, but put your headquarters here. You know, we're going to have workers. We've been attracting workers with these $2,000 grants to come live here. So it's just also another way, you know, in the original one, it was like, oh, let's have people that are working remotely who don't steal jobs from locals. In this situation, it's like, let's create a whole new other class of locals.
Industry.
Yeah, of industry.
Okay, well,
that's so kind of weird.
Yeah, one of the things that was going on in Savannah is that a lot of just personal computer users were not able to, they were having tech problems in their homes, and they, when they would call a service to help them, they couldn't uh-huh walk them through it over the phone, and so they really needed so they really needed people that could come to their house mm-hmm and say, well, it's not plugged in.
It's so interesting.
It's very no, and that was just a problem in there, and the, and that so, was the problem yeah specific to Savannah was that was the problem.
Yeah, that was.
But it's like it's Hawaii and Savannah. Like to, people go visit like who those are you
well,
know
okay
places where
did,
people
would you be compelled to go? What it would take you, Judy, to move somewhere? What would it take you? Like what kind of?
I need more than a bicycle. Okay. I need more than a bicycle.
Paulo, is there like were you moved at all by any of these offers to uproot your life?
I would like to have bearers.
What?
Like bearers, like Ben Franklin had to take him up the steps of, you know, the Constitutional. Yeah. Just bearers, and I don't think that's too uh-huh much to ask. A lot of Arkansas people are strong. And you know what? You know what was one of the worst moments of my entire life? Many years ago, I hurt my back. Long story short, I couldn't move very much. And so we called an ambulance, didn't really know what else to do. And they came and they, you know, put me on their goofy
they
litter.
They bared you?
They bared me. But here was the worst. This was the worst thing, maybe one of the worst things that ever happened to me. When they lifted me, they grunted. They were like, and oh, come on. Oh, come on. Are you going to tell me? I mean, I was about, well, you know, I was probably 20 pounds heavier than I am now. But nonetheless, are you going to tell me I'm the heaviest thing you've ever lifted? Like, oh, it was awful. It was just so embarrassing.
It's painful.
Yeah. Yeah. I said, put me down. I'm not going. That's what I said.
Bearers. Okay, so that'll get Paul Poundstone to move. Folks, let me know what if you have looked into any of these programs and what you think of them. I'm so curious. I didn't even know they were happening. I did know they were happening because one of our regulars, Andrew Heaton, has just moved to Oklahoma City. No, sorry, to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
Because they have a program and he's going to be living there for a year, doing all of his writing and podcasting and all the stuff that he does from Tulsa. He's very excited. And I know someone
That's
who lives
exciting.
In Tulsa and hooked him up and he may even have a new friend. So let me know, folks,
wow.
What you think about these programs. And then the second little piece from the cultural grab bag is a really weird story. It comes out of Florida. Where
a weird story from Florida?
I know.
Okay,
what
on.
Is happening? It's a story where 80 female students' yearbook photos were digitally altered to make their clothes cover more of their bodies. Mostly the edits, you know, covered their chests more. So they were cleavage and shoulder coverage corrections. I guess just off the bat, Judy, what do you think?
What are they, Orthodox Jews? I don't understand this. It's like a Hasidic. First of all, I looked at these photos. It's like there's no cleavage. I don't, what is going on with this attack on women? It's like, oh my God.
I know,
God.
The original photos were so fine.
Tame.
They were there so tame. I was just like, here's the deal, guys. Women have titties.
Have tits.
They just
women
do.
Have tits.
I can't believe you guys talk this way. Yeah.
It's also like they said that the guys who were on the swim team and their Speedos, that's fine. And why do we have to objectify women? Why is it that we are only sexual objects? It's like, you know, this whole Me Too. There was a comic that went on stage and he opened his bit with, you know, I was in the elevator the other day and this woman walked in. And she said, good morning. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to fall for that. Like, and the audience laughs. And I'm thinking, you don't even know how to speak to a woman without objectifying her. You know, this is a huge fucking problem. And the fact that that it was a woman who altered these photos is even more disgusting. And then they attacked another girl because she had a sweatshirt zipped up to her neck, but underneath she only had a jog bra. Like, what? This is what you're focusing on?
Yeah, really?
Like, yeah. It's crazy.
Beyond.
Mm-hmm. Paula,
yeah.
What do
you think? These are opportunities for women, and I think you're missing that point. So the woman,
right.
The woman who went through the photos and altered them or had them altered, see, that was a job. She had a job, and that's so important.
Right.
So
economic opportunity. Is that what we're missing?
Yeah, you can go into STEM. Or you can go into photo breast modification and, you know,
FBI.
You know, I was raised in a different time and a different place.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up in a small town in Massachusetts, and in my high school photo, someone went through and enlarged our breasts. We were just, you know, it was all the turtlenecks and sweaters. We were not appealing enough, sexually appealing enough.
But I mean, part of the problem was, too, that this woman was so bad at Photoshop. Like, it just looked it would just be like
so
a black
bad.
Bar over boobs. Like, it wasn't done
gosh.
Artfully. It's not like it looked very much like the actual clothing would have looked.
Right.
So that's the other issue is, if you're gonna do something like this, which is ridiculous. I mean, look, I get you don't want, you know, people running around with their genitals hanging out. Like, I get that. I also think, like, you have to really think to yourself, why is it only a girl's problem? Like, how is it that we've
Why is it that we've
determined that none of the male body is sexual? But the female body is. Like, you really have to ask yourself those questions.
But Nagin, like, you watch a movie, there's tits galore. You never see the banana and grapes ever.
Right, it's always covered up.
So no, yeah. The other thing is, we have to have, you know, and I know the Republicans love these issues because the culture war.
Sure.
We as a nation, and maybe this is a place where we could come together with some bipartisanship. We as a nation, we have to decide how far down, like, okay, if you start at a woman's like collarbone, okay, you start at the collarbone and then you go, okay, where, okay, I'm going to go down an inch. Is that okay? Another inch. Like,
right.
Does life stop just above the nipple? That's my question. What? Why the nipple and not the whole breast?
Why are we not talking about this in the U.S. Senate? Like, why is Mitch McConnell talking about anything else?
Matt Gaetz was talking about it
But it's like the same thing with breastfeeding. It's the same thing. You're feeding your baby. Your body is, you know, feeding your baby, and
your body is the 7-Eleven
for you. Like, fuck you.
Yeah, that's because of Grapes of Wrath, Judy. That's because of Grapes of Wrath. That ruined it for everyone.
Yeah.
All right, folks, let me know what you think. Check out the yearbook photos online. They're kind of funny. I mean, it's ridiculous. And I'm sorry for the kids who felt body shamed and who just didn't get good yearbook photos. That sucks. All right. Thank you so much for joining me. I would love for the people of Fake the Nation to know exactly where to go to be able to find you and all the wonderful stuff you do. Judy Gold, where do they find you?
Hi, my name's Judy Gold. I'm on Twitter and Instagram. I haven't done the TikTok yet. I mean, I have a TikTok account, but I haven't done anything. At Judy Gold, JEWDYGLD, because I'm Jewish. And JudyGold.com. JudyGold.com, regular, JudyGold.com, has all my dates and, you know, and I have a book out called Yes, I Can Say That When They Come for the Comedians, We're All in Trouble. I have a podcast called Kill Me Now with Judy Gold, and I'll be performing in Provincetown, Massachusetts all summer long.
Amazing. You should go see her. She's so fun to watch. It is incredible.
Thank you.
Paula Poundstone, where do people find you?
Well, I have a podcast. Do you know why I have a podcast? Because I'm a human being. And that's why I have a podcast. I have a podcast. It's called Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. And you can find it where you get your podcasts. Or you can go to paulapoundstone.com. You can find my dates. And that's Paula, paulapoundstone.com. You know, you can find my dates and funny videos that I thought were funny when I made them. And the podcast is also right there. And like that. And this has been so much fun, Nagin.
Oh, so fun.
Oh, my God. Thank you guys so much for doing this show. Folks, a big thank you to our producer, Julia Linden, sound engineer, Stephanie Aguilar, and all the wonderful people at HeadGum. The theme music is written by Gabby Alter. As always, rate and view the show on Apple Podcasts. Email us at fakethenation@headgum.com with whatever you want to say. Join the Patreon for bonus content and so much more at patreon.com/NagineFarsad. And we will be back in your earballs next week.
That was a HeadGum podcast.